Well, good morning, brethren. Just another glorious day right here in paradise. Wow. My wife Susan and I, we walked through the land park area with the trees. And you know, it's just God's creation. You know, you can say, well, some of God's glory seems to be there. But mixed with it, there's some trees that need trimming. Some are dead, could be taken out. And the beautiful water, clear. I grew up in western Oklahoma, and I thought rivers were always red. I didn't know they could be clear, you know. No, clear. But even there's some debris in there. Not perfect. And then, of course, if you've been there, have you seen that wood duck? I mean, this guy is decked out. I mean, he is almost glorious. And so it's really something to see. So, brethren, do you see much glory in the leadership of the world? It's kind of hard to find, you know. The dictionary says that glory is high renown or honor won by notable achievements, magnificence, great beauty. But it seems that glory is marred even in the creation. And certainly in people. You know, we're all called, have God's Spirit. Maybe a part of God's glory, each one of us. And yet things come up and you wonder, what happened to it? Well, where is it now? All the information we received here during the feast. I better look at my clock here. What time do I need to get off of here? Okay. Maybe I'll figure it out. And did I catch myself, went to a restaurant, 8 o'clock, 8:45, I'm still sitting there, and it's not crowded. There's one table. And, you know, the waitress comes with a attitude of a Tasmanian devil. Hey, I'm trying to be a nice guy, okay? Best I can. And I'm boiling inside already. You know, what do you have? What goes with it? A biscuit. A biscuit, okay. Biscuit. Well, anyway, people come. They get their food. I'm still there. And then I don't get the check. And pretty soon I realize, well, where is this? This patience, you know, the first day, first message, be patient, long-suffering, leave tips. You know, I wanted to leave a penny in a glass of water, but I didn't. So, I mean, we don't know when these things will come because, you know, we're being tested. If you look in John chapter 17, in John chapter 17, in verse 5, here Jesus praying, he said, glorify me with the glory, which I had with you before the world. I'll read that. And now, O Father, glorify me, John 17, 5, together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So it seems they shared the same glory. They were back at that time, there was no Father and no Son. They probably had the same glory or they shared it. But Christ, the Word, emptied himself, as we could see in Philippians. I would like to read that. Yes, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. And as we've had it read, verse 5 before, let this mind be in you. And then verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, of a slave. Well, a slave was, that's about on the bottom, even washing feet. And then Christ there on the night before he died, he washed feet like a slave would be. So this glorified God emptied himself and become in the likeness of men. So that's where we're supposed to be heading also. So how will this come about? You know, I told about my experience at the restaurant. I was pretty well pushing out the glory of God in attitude. I was able to hold my tongue. So see, I got something. Don't write me totally off yet. I mean, I was there. I haven't been known for patience. I mean, just a railroad train on a track in front of me tries my patience. So I thought, well, hey, you're doing good, Gerald. But, you know, the glory of God. Let's look at a little history of God's glory on the earth. So we know that, you remember the cloud and the fire that went with Israel. I won't turn there, but you remember that. And the fire and the smoke on the mountain, Sinai. We will turn over to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 4, 24. Exodus chapter 24, it says in verse 15, maybe through 17, then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now in verse 16, it says, now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses. So you see, it was like even as a consuming fire in verse 17. The sight of the glory of the Eternal was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So there it was, a consuming fire on a mountain, like the glory of God. And so then later, God says, let them make me a sanctuary. What? That I may dwell among them. Just turn over to Exodus 25, verse 8. Close by. 25, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary or a sacred place that I may dwell among them. Well, he said, let them make me a sacred place. And that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furnishing, just as you shall make it. So here God says, make me a place where I may dwell among you. And in verse 34, am I in the correct place? No, I need to turn to Exodus 40. Exodus 40. I like to keep all the scriptures in the same book. That way I can find them. You know, I'm not good about digging through all these obscure scriptures, you know, all over. No, keep it in one book. Okay, Exodus 40, verse 1 and 2. And they set up the tabernacle. On the first day of the first month, you set up the tabernacle. You shall put in it, there in verse 3, the ark of the testimony, and partition off the ark with the veil. Remember, there was a veil, and God dwell behind the veil. And in verse 34, chapter 40, it says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled that tabernacle. So the glory of God was there. The glory of the Lord filled that tabernacle. The rabbis later designated the glory by the term Shekinah of glory, meaning indwelling, God indwelling there. And I won't turn there, but when Christ was in the vision on the mountain, you know, a cloud overshadowed them, and they shined. And then later, God's glory came to dwell in the temple built by Solomon. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you'll turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. David wanted to build the temple, but his history, violence and war, God said no, but your son may. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying his dedication of this temple, and when he had finished praying, and what happened? Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. It filled the temple to the point where the priests could not even go in. So you see, the glory of God came to the temple built by Solomon, which stood. And, you know, fire from heaven and the cloud kind of reminds me of Acts chapter 2 when the tongues of fire came on the brethren there, symbols of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to read a little bit from the United Church of God commentary about Ezekiel 9. God chose to allow his presence to remain in the temple for centuries, in spite of the people being sinful in many ways, following other gods. The Jews continued in false, adulterous worship. But the presence of God did leave Jerusalem temple prior to its looting and destruction by the Babylonians. Why did it leave? Why did God's glory leave that temple? Well, God had warned Israel that that would happen. And he gives us plenty of warnings too. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 16. And the Eternal, or the Lord, said to Moses, "Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot." He said, "Moses, when you die, these people are going to return to what they were called out of." And we have the same challenge, don't we? We can return to what we were called out of. To play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant. He said, these people are going to break my covenant, even though the miracles, the glory of God, there. And it says in verse 17, "Then my anger shall be aroused against them, and I will forsake them." Yes, God's glory left Solomon's temple, or the temple of God. And he said in verse 18, "And I will surely hide my face in that day, because why? Of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods." God is very forgiving, long-suffering. But when we turn to other gods, it really gets extremely dangerous. All sin is, but people fall and stumble, but actually turning to other gods, God won't stay there. And so the glory of God departed. In Ezekiel chapter 8, I cannot read all these. It would take about God departing from the Jerusalem temple, but in Ezekiel 8:1, Ezekiel was there with the elders of Judah. I wonder what they were discussing. I think we'd have an idea as we, if you'd read on through that chapter. Then I looked, and there's likeness, the appearance of fire from the appearance of his waist downward. Fire from his fire and from his waist upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. And it goes on to say that something like a hand took Ezekiel into vision to Jerusalem. And in verse 6, then he says, furthermore, he said to me, son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abomination that the house of Israel commits, are committing here. And what does it say? To make me go far away. To make me go far away. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said that I should be compelled by their sins to lead, to leave. Now, we have God's Spirit, and we live, but we can compel God to leave. And the rest of that chapter talks about the abominations that they were committing, returning to what they had come out of. Has been mentioned earlier about how people return back to what they had been called out of. And then continuing Ezekiel 8, it just describes some of those abominations. Again, I'd like to read from the commentary about Ezekiel 9, 10, and 11, about the glory of God departing. And you could read those sometime if you want. That the glory of God leaves holy place, going to the threshold of the temple. It's like a step by step, God leaves, goes to the court, ends up on the Mount East, which I believe would be the Mount of Olives. And God continues. He said, God leaves the order to the man in the linen cloth. That would be in Ezekiel 10. To gather coals of fire from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city of Jerusalem. God has gone, has waited long enough. And finally, this symbolizes that God has now judged this city, and it is to be punished and burned as when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. God has called us, he's given us his Spirit. And he may not give up on us very easy. And we don't know what it would take if we forsake God. The glory and presence of God then begins to move step by step exit from Jerusalem, as it says. And I mean, that's a lot to read and study. But Ezekiel 11 is... says, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Wouldn't that not be the Mount of Olives? From there, we assume the glory ascended to heaven. The glory of God did not occupy the second temple. Remember Ezra and Nehemiah during that time? I'd heard that Nehemiah was the shortest man in the Bible. You know, Nehemiah. But later I found, no, that's not true. Because in the book of Job, it says there was Bildad the Shuhite. So, I mean, he's got to be shorter. But during that time, the glory of God was not in that temple. But there is hope for the glory of God to return. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 7, if you would. Acts chapter 7, here's Stephen. He's on the verge of being stoned. Acts chapter 7, verse 44. And here he said, Acts 7, 44, for our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. Remember, the glory of God filled that tabernacle. As he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern. So it was made in a pattern that God instructed. And it was taken in by Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles. That'd be in verse 45. And God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David. When he found favor, verse 46, before God, and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. But of course, then Solomon built the temple. Then in verse 48, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. It goes on there. In verse 49, he's made the heavens. That's my throne. The earth's my footstool. How are you going to make him a temple? Well, there is a temple being built. Has my hand not made all these? Then he goes on, you stiff-necked people, you've always resisted the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm sitting in that restaurant and I'm resisting the Holy Spirit, you know, because I've already, just during this feast, I've had enough instruction to know that what I should feel and what I should do. Thankfully, I didn't blurt it out. So give me an attaboy there one time, okay? So he goes on. I see I've read 49 and verse 59. Well, verse 55. But he being full of the Holy Spirit, here's Stephen, verse 55, gazed into heaven. And what did he see? And I saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at his right hand. Jesus wasn't sitting there like in a lazy boy watching what's going on. No, he was standing. I mean, if you go to a ball game and the score's tied and your team makes the last shot, are you sitting or standing? Probably standing. No. Jesus was standing. So then, we do know that the shepherds at Christ's birth, that it says the glory of God was in that area. So we know, we've already read that the Word became flesh and emptied himself of the glory that he had with the Father. And even his name, Emmanuel, means God with us. But God's temple now is his church. That's you, that's me. And we're going to defile the temple of God, the people whom he dwells in. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, read a little about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, do you not know? He said, don't you know? Do you not know that you are the temple of God? I mean, we're the temple of God. What kind of a person would that be? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I mean, that is tremendous, isn't it? If anyone defiles the temple, just like ancient Israel, they had the temple. The glory of God was there. And they defiled the temple. It's like as if God was like being pushed out. There wasn't room. There's just not room for an idol and God in the temple. That's us. Whatever that idol might be. there's just not room. I mean, many times the idol is our own self. As we've had a lot of good messages about the selfishness and about ourself and the battle that goes on, where we can push God out. Know the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles, there in verse 17, the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which you are. I mean, if we could keep that in mind, it says, which you are. Are we holy? It seems to me it's saying, which you are. You are the temple of God, and you are holy because God is there. What made the temple holy? Because God was there. Just a building otherwise, but God was there. Ephesians 2. See if I have time to turn to Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Let's see, now therefore you are no longer, Ephesians 2:19, strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Actually, members of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And in verse 22, in whom you also are being built together. For what? A dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Just as that tabernacle and that temple were built for a dwelling place. A dwelling place for God in the Spirit. That's quite a privilege and an opportunity. Unmatched, I'd say. As we have seen that God has changed his place of residence from the temple built by hands. Now he will live in his people, as we will see. And just as Jesus, after his death, he departed from where when he was brought up? Seems to me from the Mount of Olives, as we see in Acts chapter 1. You know, the glory of God left the temple to the mountain on the east. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Where am I? Keep going. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. In verse 10, as they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by. He said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up? This same Jesus who was taken up from you will so come. And then verse 12, it says, they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. So it seems that Christ went up from the Mount of Olives. Yes. And again from the commentary, the glory of God returns to the new completed temple. As we might see, we see that the glory left through the Mount of Olives. Jesus left. And then in Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, and we see in verse 3 and 4, then the Lord will come forth and fight against those nations. He fights in the day of the battle. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem, remember, on the east. Yes, the glory of God comes again. And if we would turn to Ezekiel chapter 43, we'll see, if you want to read about that, the glory comes from the east again. and the glory there in verse 4 of Ezekiel 43, the glory of the eternal came into the temple. And the glory of God filled the temple. So here again, we see. Brethren, you know, we're called and granted repentance. And we can be glorified. I was going to read in Romans 8, but I think I should stop. That we are called to glory. Yes, God is restoring his glory in each of us and will make it available to all mankind. So we'll be hearing about tomorrow. We have our part in restoring the glory of God. I might just conclude with our vision statement of the United Church of God. A church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose. Doing their share. What's your share? That's whatever God has given you that you're able to use. And none of us are the same. Probably. In growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity to bring many children to glory. Well, brethren, we look forward to being filled with that glory at the resurrection. What a glorious Feast of Tabernacles this has been.